Galatians chapter 6 from verse 6. Let him who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart and we don't faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Abraham Lincoln, during the peak of the American Civil War, was not in good health. And he would often, with his bodyguard, go into a little Presbyterian church in Gettysburg to gain a bit of direction, inspiration, and solace. And he'd sit in an alcove, anonymously, where no one could recognize him, because he was a very visible man. And after one particularly good message, his aide, his bodyguard, turned to him and said, "Mr. President, wasn't that an outstanding message?" And Lincoln, in his dour way, said, "Yes, that was very well prepared and very well delivered. I'll give the man that." But he made one dreadful mistake. He failed to challenge us to do something great. He failed to challenge us to go beyond the average and do something extra for God. And that's my challenge to you this morning. To look at everything with a vision. How can I turn this insignificant situation or this menial task into something that God can inject power into and explode to be a huge blessing to others? Know who you're dealing with. You're reckoning with the creator of the universe who spoke it all into being out of nothing. He didn't need matter to create it. He spoke it into being out of nothing. And he'll do that with a menial task in the insignificant circumstances that you have at your disposal from time to time. And I believe that after this encouragement this morning, you're going to see things through different eyes and your life will not be boring from this day on. It's up to you and me. I was a national swimmer in South Africa years ago. And of course I enjoyed the limelight and the popularity of being at the swimming pool just about every day of my life and having an all-year-round tan and working out with weights and having a fitness that I took so for granted. And there was a young man that sauntered up to us one Sunday afternoon. I was about 18 years of age. I think he was 16. A muscular young man. And he said to me, "I noticed you training today. Can I train with you?" And I thought he just wanted to muscle in on our scene because obviously where we were, there were a lot of pretty girls around. And I thought he was just interested in that scene. And I said, "Okay, let's see what you can do." Well, that young man became my pacemaker. And he pushed me to break a lot of national records. And I attributed a lot to him, gave him the credit for it. But that young man was also instrumental in revealing Jesus Christ to me. I noticed things going on in his life. He was a teenager, he was experiencing problems. But I noticed he had a handle on them. It was a peace and a competence about his life. And I can remember in the midst of, I just swam 5 kilometers. That was the average stamina training program. And I was in the middle of 10 100-meter sprints with a 60-second gap in between. And I was gasping for breath, sitting on the side of the pool, watching the clock tick around to the minute mark again. And I turned to him and I said, "Trevor, what is it that you've got that I haven't got? I think I need what you've got." And I was staggered what he said to me. He said, "Dave, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, don't you?" And I was so glad when the buzzer went and we had to dive in the pool again that I didn't have to answer him. He introduced me to his father. 2 months later, his father led me to Christ. And I tell you what, that young man and I are still friends today. He's not so young today. He's a top engineer in Southern Africa. And we're still good buddies. Because he has an investment in all the people that I've been winning to Jesus over the years. He didn't know, neither did I, the things that were going to take place in later years. But there was a simple, ordinary little thing. That young man walking up, he wanted a chance to prove himself as a swimmer. And he was a good swimmer, he was a good sprinter. But that little ordinary event turned out to be a huge investment in the kingdom of God. Don't take those things lightly, folk. When people walk into your life and say, "Can I help?" They could just be a huge bonus to the kingdom of God and to you. Anyone heard of Dr. Stephen Alford? Yeah, some of the older generation. That's lovely. I've worked with him on 3 occasions, and he's a Spirit-filled Baptist man. And incidentally, for the record, he shared with my wife and I over lunch how in 1946 in a hotel room in Wales he brought a very young Billy Graham into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's something the Southern Baptists have played down. But he said there was this tall young American with his pink suit on, jumping on the hotel room beds, bellowing at the top of his voice. Can you picture that? And that was when that young man's ministry turned around and began to make an impact on the world. And I can remember Stephen of a phenomenal encouragement to me. Those early years before I met Grant and Philippa in Southern Africa, I was ministering in a lot of conservative churches and hundreds of people were coming to the Lord. The altar rails were just full of people, Anglican parishes, Catholic parishes. They were kneeling at the altar rail getting saved. I was laying hands on them and they were being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't too far to fall off their knees onto their backs. And the type of altar calls that I was feeling led to give tended to upset the brethren and the Baptists, bless their hearts, and the Presbyterians and the Methodists, and they put an embargo on me. Don't give altar calls. Whenever this man comes to preach, don't let him give altar calls. And I can remember Stephen Alford, a revered Baptist man, coming to Southern Africa, 1975 it was, and he waved his Bible around his head, and he said, the preaching of God's word and the preaching of the gospel is incomplete without an altar call. And I said, sock it to them, brother, sock it to them. It's incomplete without challenging people to come to their comfort zone and expect God to do something great for them, and in return they do something great for God. So I'm laying this expectation on you this morning very lovingly to move you beyond that comfort zone.